League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. It is an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. You can ask any question. I'll work it in to the show. What's the biggest key to a successful Astros second half? I saw Chandler Rome put a piece together in The Athletic, and he asked a couple of questions. I suppose these perhaps could provide the keys. What injured pitchers will the Astros actually be able to rely on? A great question. Honestly, with the returns from Lance McCullers, who has been god-awful at Daikin Park, but has been decent to good on the road, you don't trust him right now. He's been out of pitching for a while, so I suppose that there's a ramp up towards the end of the year. And maybe at the end of the year, he'll actually be pitching a little bit better and more consistently and not giving up 39 runs at Daikin Park. But you're not going to feel comfortable with him on the mound the rest of the season. And then after that, Christian Javier Luis Garcia. I don't even know how to gauge the recovery at this moment in time. Every single little breadcrumb the Astros give us as far as injury updates go, it always feels like there's a lot that they don't tell us. And that part is so damn frustrating. And we've bitched and moaned about this ad nauseum. I don't know whether those two guys are going to be enough to give a little bit more consistency in the rotation. You've got to tip your hat to Colton Gordon, to Brandon Walter, and to everyone else who has been stepping up the way that they have. But I am not expecting those guys to be able to do that all season long. Remember when J.P. France did it for a full season? I was skeptical about that. I was skeptical about Ronel Blanco being able to do it all season long last year. And he did, and then, of course, yeah, you saw what happened. This year. Seems like he actually was developing into a consistent pitcher. So I don't know the answer to that question. The injured pitcher the Astros will actually be able to rely on. The second question, this one concerned me because of the way it was asked. Is Yordan going to return? So it was originally diagnosed a muscle strain in his hand. Then we found out there was a small fracture. Just a little fracture. Then there was a setback as he was close to returning from said fracture, which was supposedly, what, 60% healed, 80% healed? But that setback turned to be inflammation, at least per the Astros. And we talked about that inflammation 2 weeks ago. Does it take 2 weeks for inflammation to go away? I would think that a bruise is going to be gone more quickly than that. So it does make me wonder if the bone has had some sort of setback, which, of course, the Astros aren't going to tell us about. But it just feels strange, the idea that 2 weeks for inflammation is a thing. So I'm wondering now, is Yordan Alvarez going to be the guy that Dana Brown says is the Astros' trade deadline acquisition? Or are we just going to be
asking questions all offseason and then perhaps questioning Yordan's toughness going into next season. And I guess the third key from this article, a pitching or lefty bat, what do you go after at the trade deadline, pitching or a lefty bat? I think at this point with the arms you have, you have to basically roll the dice and hope that one of the guys who comes back from injury is going to help you out. But the lefty bat, like if Yordan's not back, I think you're going to have to be a little bit more serious looking at that. I think you're now in a moment where Victor Caratini should be playing the majority of games and kind of has to just given the way that things are currently stacked. But every single day, Victor Caratini, how's that going to look? How's that going to go? Can he keep doing what he's been doing with Yordan out? Pretty skeptical about that, too. I mean, everything you've gotten out of Victor Caratini to this point this season has been well above something that would be, I think, fair to ask of him going into this year. So what's the biggest key for the Astros this second half? I think it really is as simple as these guys need to be back from injury. And if they're back, they're going to have a chance at the one seed in the American League. And they're going to have a chance at home field advantage throughout the American League. And they'll put themselves in really good position come playoff time. They're just going to have to take care of business if they have a good opportunity. It's an Ask on Anything Friday. You can ask any question. 713-780-3776 to call into text in. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Paul, what do you know about Bitcoin? Nothing, but I will say this. The people that are constantly hawking Bitcoin, and I'm not just talking about the hawk to a girl, are generally so insufferable that I want it to fail. No offense. You guys are too culty with it. If you were a little bit less culty with the messaging, maybe I'd think about it. But I don't know. I go online all the time, and I see people just constantly posting, like, about, yeah, this Bitcoin that I'm in is great. It's like some fake Dogecoin crap knockoff. And I'm like, okay, guys, good luck. Best of luck. But I don't know. I think it's dumb. I don't know anything about it, though, so there's that, too. It's an Ask on Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. HTX Rhino says that I look like Jack Burton from Big Trouble in Little China. Is that the guy that's played by Kurt Russell? That's the most complimentary thing that has ever been said of me by a texter. Generally, everyone's saying I'm gay. So that's definitely a step in a different direction. I appreciate the compliment, kind sir, especially as I try to get back to 100%, which I think I'm a little bit closer to thanks to the power of steroids. Why do we vilify steroids so? We should all be doing steroids. Your child should be doing steroids. Everyone should just pop a couple steroid pills, you know? Should be available over the counter. We'll all be hot. We'll all be jacked. Maybe our things get smaller, but we'll be hot and jacked. No? No one's in? Fine. Maybe Joe Espada is the key to the Astros in the second half of the year. I saw an article of Michael Shapiro from Houston Cron, not to be confused with the Houston Chronicle. They get mad at each other. But in Cron, he wrote a piece about Joe Espada and a little thing that Dom Toretto approves of. Hashtag family. Joe Espada? Huh? Like that nickname? No? We talk about fatherhood. We talk about the changes to our life. Our schedule said Mauricio Dubon when talking about what he talks about with Joe Espada. I see him with his daughters. He's a great dad. He takes the time to enjoy that part of life. He wants me to also. Dubon continued. He's got what? 30 sons here? He knows how to deal with us. Joe Espada? Joe Estada? Do you want to start calling him Joe Estada going forward? I mean, he is the father of the Astros on their great journey, God wills it. And I look at them, and I see a guy that is definitely in the manager of the year conversation, given all the injuries that this team has had to overcome. You know?
Here's what Jake Myers had to say about what Joe Espada told the team at the beginning of the year. Remember we played that clip? It wasn't exactly the most like compelling speech. You know, you're definitely not going to put this in a clip in between, you know, William Wallace and Braveheart and Henry VIII. Or was it Henry V? I forget which one. But the you know what? I can't even remember the guy's name off the top of my head. Kenneth Branagh. You know that Kenneth Branagh movie? What was it? Henry V? Where he gives that great speech? Hell yeah. Before the Battle of Crispin's Day. It wasn't one of those speeches. It was kind of underwhelming. But he said it's going to take all of us. Defense. Pitching. Offense. The defense has been really good. More on Joe Estrada from Lance McCullers. Last year we started slow and bounced back. A lot of that is Joe. This year we're injured and still rolling. A lot of that is Joe. He has that touch, that presence, that invisible touch. It takes control. Soon it tears the AL West apart. He's a way bigger piece of this than anyone might realize. Hell yeah, bro. Well, that's nice. Joe Estrada. We're going to call him that going forward. Because it sounds like Joe Espada, but instead we're saying Joe Estrada. What else do we have here on an Ascalon Anything Friday? For the 936 baseball should do steroids. Yes, I agree. It would be a lot better. From the 832, the liberal in you just came out. Ooh, I wonder how you'd feel about the last 24 hours for me. Your child should be doing steroids. Stay away from the kids, Paul, you weirdo. No, your child should be, because he can make you wealth by being a great athlete. Don't you know how to use your kids for wealth? Come on now. From the 409, it's Joe Espadre now. Ooh, I like that. Joe Espadre or Joe Estrada. 713-780-3776 to call into text. And these are the important decisions that we are making on arguably the most consequential episode of the Paul Gallant Show of all time. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Bryant C. asks me, are you 60% healed or 80% healed? I think I'm 80% healed. I just wish they had given me this when I asked them to give it to me on Saturday. It's kind of getting frustrating if you go to doctors, and again, maybe my insurance isn't the best, but you really have to tell them what you want. You almost have to have a list and ask them of all the things that you want. And you might not even necessarily get all the things that you want. Because I said, hey, man, can we do a steroid shot? That would be nice. Then I'll be good to go by Monday. And they were like, nah. Because it's brought the inflammation down significantly. And they couldn't just give it on Saturday. What the hell, man? So I got to find a new primary care provider. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Also available on the brand new ESPN Houston app. You can also join us on Twitch at ESPN 975 and YouTube at ESPN Houston. Up next on the most interactive sports talk show in town. What's the last time you've been on a plane? And did you actually have a favorable experience? Because the friendly skies are becoming angry once again. You'll hear some examples of this next. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. It is an Ascalon Anything Friday. Chris from Humble says, sounds like you have the Astros medical staff as your doctor, Paul. No, we're back. Just, you know, they screwed up at first, didn't give me the roids. And yes, roids for baseball players.
I mean, Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge are already on him. I don't know. No, I think Cal Raleigh just has a huge ass, and that's how he's blasting balls into outer space. That's why they call him Big Dumper. Aaron Judge does look freakish. Aaron Judge is definitely your throwback. Looks like a 90s baseball player. But he's also, what, like 6'9"? He's huge. So that's why he's hitting all of his home runs as well. I'm not suspicious of those two. And even if they did, I wouldn't care. Truly. If you're an athlete, you're playing a professional game, you know the consequences that could happen if you're taking steroids or if you're taking HGH, which generally means that your body's going to fall apart later in life. You're going to develop some issues. Perhaps certain things stop growing, stop working, yada, 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 you know. But if you're willing to put in that sacrifice to make yourself the best athlete you possibly could be, to help your team win, to help you go the furthest you can, I don't personally have an issue with it. I can see how others would, though. And I know baseball is the league that's always had the most issues with this kind of cheating. Another texter. There should be two leagues. One that allows all the cheating, steroids, sign-stealing, juice balls. The other league is not cheating at all. Which one would get better ratings? Yeah, if you turn baseball into wrestling, it would be fun. But then again, it would be maybe more like the Savannah Bananas than it would be like the league that we're currently watching. Then again, the Savannah Bananas sell out everywhere they go. I watched it on television 2 weeks ago. It was on ESPN. We were in between going to see Jurassic World and F1. And I saw it on TV for the first time. The dancing is the worst. Like I hate it with a passion. But people like it. It has an audience. They sell out everywhere they go. I just couldn't believe that they put it on ESPN. It's an Ask Alon Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call to text. Dr. Trey on 290 asks, Ask Alon Anything Friday. When you get a massage, do you prefer a male or a female? And what style of massage? Truly, I don't know what any of those words mean that you said afterwards. Shiatsu? Medium? Deep tissue? No idea what any of those things are. I'd rather have a female doing the massaging, but I have only had one massage in my life. I think they're expensive. Paul, you sound like a little bit of a cheapo, don't you? Maybe. Maybe just a little bit. Someone I was dating a couple of years ago, this was why we stopped dating, wanted me to go with her to like a Korean spa. And I guess at the Korean spa, you strip completely naked and then you go off with people of your gender into like a sauna or whatever like that. And I was like, wait a second, so this is like $200, and I'm not even going to get to see the significant other at all? I'm just going to be hanging around with a bunch of dudes? Sounds terrible. That was our last date. Like $200 apiece so that we can each not be near each other and just sweat. I don't get saunas. Does that actually help people out? Anyway, flying a plane these days, not the most fun thing in the world. It's difficult to get to the airport, especially Bush. What a disaster, an abomination that place is. And generally, you're dealing with annoyed TSA who don't want to be there, flight attendants who don't want to be there, people who have never been on planes before, a lack of etiquette. If you're on Spirit Airlines, your spirit will die, etc., etc., etc. And things are starting to get more feisty on the airlines these days. First of all, this happened, I think, over the weekend. We didn't get a chance to play it earlier in the week. A lawyer, she called herself this, as the plane landed, got out of her row as quickly as possible and just decided to walk all the way up to the front of the plane. This is how that unfolded. Here is audio of this lady going back and forth with a bunch of different people.
You're just a Karen, and that's just the way it is.
Just deal with it, people. My God. Why don't you all shut up? It's not affecting any of you.
No, but you're just standing
in the room. You guys are so funny. You're the Karens about it, because you're the ones who are making noise. Nobody's bothering you. It's not even in your... I'm sorry, do you have my permission to record me?
It's public.
Shut up.
Oh!
Yep. Because you've never said one. I can tell you have. Oh, yes, I can. Given your accent, I can tell you've said the F-bomb. You can be a jerk.
No, you're not going to insult someone because of an accent. We're not doing that.
Put your finger at me.
Okay?
This is a low IQ interview.
Yeah, it is.
You ain't going to change this.
I love when they say ain't and they talk about low IQ.
I use AIDS and I'm in a doctoral program.
So. Well, that's a big deal. I'm a lawyer and I don't say ain't.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of took the lawyer's side with that last lady who chimes in. Like, oh, don't you talk to me about paid with an accent. And she has an accent as she's saying it, as she's coming in to, like, combat this lady. And then afterwards, like, I can kind of understand why she snipped.
Like, oh, I have a doctorate.
It is a kind of annoying comeback. Those two, I think, should have been left to themselves, a one-on-one for the ages as they try to dress each other down. Like, I would have enjoyed those two. But that lady sucks. Here's the thing. If you're on a plane, this idea that you can't get up as soon as you land is a load of crap. B-Mac, I think you would agree. Like, B-Mac, you're taller and bigger than me. I'm reasonably tall. When the plane lands, I almost always sit in the aisle. I like to stand up because sitting in a plane seat for 3 hours at a time is brutal. And I think you can stand up. You can get in the aisle, especially if you're sitting in the aisle. But if you're in the middle seat or if you're in the window, sit there. You're going to be there for a little bit of time.
Yeah, I mean,
but you are allowed to. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sorry. I don't mind. Now, I haven't flown as often as you have, so I don't know what the etiquette here is. But, like, if it's an idea of cutting the line or something like that, I sympathize with that. But, yeah, I would totally at least stand up, maybe go out in the aisle. I would then let people get past me if I was, quote-unquote, cutting the line. But you're right. Like, getting in those seats, I even have that problem sometimes that, like, going to games at stadiums or whatnot or any place like that, maybe sometimes even older theaters where your legs just don't have enough room and it
yeah.
really starts to hurt after a while.
It sucks. And, I mean, it's not a fun experience, but, okay, so this lady, the only excuse I think you have to get to the front of a plane is if you have a connecting flight. And if you want to get to the front and you don't want to piss people off while trying to get to the front, you got to be nice. First off, you can't just like push through. You can't just put your shoulder into people. I see a lot of people do that. If you're nice and you talk to every single person as you go through, hey, I'm sorry, I got a flight to make. Any chance you would let me come by? Some people are going to let you go by. Not everyone. And you might get off the plane a little bit more quickly than you normally would. But you got to ask, and you got to ask nice. I would never do it. I'd feel bad doing it. Basically, to me, it's like luck of the draw. If you thought you had a tight connection, try to get the seat that's the furthest up in the plane so that you can make said connection. And, like, that's what you got to deal with. But if there are people that are trying to get through, one of the things I will do is I will stand in the aisle and I'll just block them. Like, because I like to let all the people that are in front exit their rows in an orderly fashion. But I am going to stand in the aisle because I want to stretch. And I'm not even that big of a guy. But you sit in those seats for a while and you don't put the seat back because apparently you're not allowed to put the seat back according to the unwritten rules of being on a plane. You're going to want to stand up and stretch a little bit. So that's one of the videos that's gone viral this week as the airlines are getting less and less friendly. Here is another crash out. This guy is the realest guy on the East Coast.
Yeah, you're literally pissing off your customer. Shut the f*** up. Take those glasses off. You don't even deserve the seat. F*** you. Bro, I'm done with this bro. You're disrespecting all your clients at this point. Bro. Call the police, I'll f*** him up. You guys f***ing mess with the wrong one. You guys f*** with the realest person on the East Coast. Like, I'm really doing a feature with Kodak Black. I'll f*** on all you guys. I'm taking off in 5 minutes, so everybody's getting off this plane. And I'm giving money for everybody. I'll f***ing all up. Like, go ahead and call the f***ing police. Like, it's the least of my f***ing worries. You think I give a f***? Call him.
The amazing part about this guy, and B-Mac, shout out to you, censoring all those swears. The craziest part about this guy, there are two videos. Each of them are like 2.5 minutes long. And no one is coming up to this guy that's on this flight, which apparently had been stuck on a runway for an hour. And he's just getting up and he's walking back and forth. No one got up and tried to subdue him. No one got up and tried to calm him down. And I mean, he's being pretty intense in this situation. I was of the impression that he was probably doing cocaine or something like that.
He's just very aggressive all over the place. Maybe he's had a few drinks. Like, over the course of this, these videos, he's saying, like, I need a shot right now. But, like, only Don Julio. Like, anything below that, like, just throw that bleep away. So the realest guy in the East Coast was just, like, walking up, standing around, walking around in a circle. That guy actually sucks. There was a person that at one point just their blood boiled, and they just started yelling, shut the bleep up! Shut the bleep up! Like, they were Al Pacino. And then the guy kind of got confrontational again, and somebody got in between both of them, and the guy who got confrontational realized, like, oh, wait, I'm just adding to this. But if you're on an airline with someone like that who just won't shut up, I actually do not know what you do. I would assume this person wouldn't have a weapon. I would assume that I would be able to say something, and that street justice would not perhaps see me.
On the East Coast.
From the realest person on the East Coast. Would not see me, I don't know, falling asleep early or something like that. But a situation like this with some guy who's just out of his mind and who won't stop talking, I don't know what the solution is in that spot. Bad job by the flight attendants just standing around and not doing anything. Yeesh. But that guy's the realest guy on the East Coast, everybody. It's an Ask Him on Anything Friday.
The realest person on the East Coast.
713-780-3776 to call to text. On an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. A couple of questions being asked here. Ooh, this is just a comment. Sorry to you, Mr. 936. We're flying to Denver next week with a 1.5-year-old and a 6.5-year-old. FML. Well, I think the 6.5-year-old might behave. The 1.5, dude, that's like, you got no hope. Be understanding of people that have kids that are 3 years or younger. For the most part, I think everyone's embarrassed when the kid starts crying and you can't stop them. You know, like, it's not their choice. From the 832 on an Ask Alon Anything Friday, do you like using subtitles? I have to from time to time. Like Mobland, that TV show on Paramount, which I just started, I have no idea what's happening whenever I watch that show. So you have to put subtitles on. Because all these English shows are like, hey, say, go, what's up, what time? Wait, in London, like, you'll hear one word. So I always have to turn subtitles on for that. Other shows I will occasionally. There are times where I forget to turn the subtitles off. Subtitles can ruin a comedy because you'll see a line coming before it actually comes. But if it's a show where there's accents, I almost always have to do it. And if it's an old movie, I often have to do it, too, because sometimes the audio quality is not great scene to scene. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, and Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, we're getting closer and closer to the start of the NFL season, 49 days away. And we got Jim Harbaugh press conference highlights. You'll hear that next. Stick around.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
49 days away from the start of the NFL season. Who is the best 49 in NFL history? I think a lot of people are going to say Roger Craig from his time with the San Francisco 49ers, a running back. You ever watch him play? High knees, kneeing people regularly. But Hall of Fame-wise, Bobby Mitchell is probably the guy. For those who don't know, Bobby Mitchell played for the Cleveland Browns from 1958 to 1961. And then for Washington from 1962 to 1968. You could argue that the Browns' bad luck started when they traded Bobby Mitchell to Washington. Here's a story from 1962. Under pressure to integrate the team by the U.S. federal government, the Washington Redskins selected Heisman Trophy winner Ernie Davis with the first pick of the 1962 NFL draft. There's actually a movie about him starring Dennis Quaid. It's called The Express.
I know this because I went to Syracuse University, that came out while I was in school. Ernie Davis is basically the reason Syracuse beat Texas in the 1959, what essentially was the national title, the Cotton Bowl. Davis ultimately wins the Heisman. He's the first black man to win a Heisman Trophy. But he was going to, I guess, want a lot of money. So the owner of Washington at the time, George Preston Marshall, who was under pressure to integrate but didn't want to pay Ernie Davis what he wanted, they traded Ernie Davis to the Cleveland Browns for Bobby Mitchell and first-round pick DeRoy Jackson. No one knew at the time, but Ernie Davis had leukemia and he died. It's a really tragic story. He was a young man, and I mean, you know, who knows what he would have done. But he gets traded to the Browns to follow in the footsteps of Jim Brown, and that happens. And okay, the Browns definitely had some decent years in the 1960s. You could argue, like, trade a future Hall of Famer for a guy who passes away. Bad luck definitely was in that moment. The bad luck continued. As far as Houston Texans players who wore the number 49, here you go. Cameron Collins, Jake Hansen, Josh Keyes. I couldn't tell you a thing about any of the three. Not one of them. T.J. Watt got paid. The Steelers pass rusher signed a whopping $123 million deal over 3 years with $108 fully guaranteed at signing. His deal edges, on average, Myles Garrett's deal earlier this offseason. He's going to get $41 million a year. Myles Garrett's getting $40 million a year. Will Anderson is probably going to get more than T.J. Watt. So just something to keep in mind down the road, especially when the Texans also have to give C.J. Stroud an extension. Perhaps other teams are starting to take the three-year contract approach that the Texans have been married to. I am curious to see what kind of contract C.J. Stroud gets after this coming season when he's first eligible for an extension. But anyway, bringing it back to T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt, in this three-year contract, will make more, check that, will almost make as much as J.J. Watt made over the entirety of his career. J.J. Watt had over his 12-year career, made $129.7 million in salary, and T.J. Watt's extension is 3 years for $123. That would piss me off. That would definitely piss me off. I think J.J. was a more complete player than T.J., largely due to his size, but T.J. Watt got paid. Jim Harbaugh is the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Texans leaped up in the playoffs last year. He did his first media availability of the offseason, and as always, he was vintage Jim Harbaugh. He had just seen the president of the United States and had this to say about what the president was most curious about on the Los Angeles Chargers team.
He wanted to know a lot about Justin. His talent and, what we were doing to, I said, that's top of mind, Mr. President, is Justin Herbert, getting him the weapons and protecting him. I told him same thing I told you all, I think Justin's biggest weakness is those around him that he's counting on offense, us coaches and playmakers and players on offense. We got to get to Justin Herbert's level.
So he's kissing Justin Herbert's ass some more. He's done a lot of that, but I mean, it's pretty funny along the way. He's talking to the president of the United States and saying, "Yeah, we need to get Justin Herbert some weapons. We need to stockpile some more weapons, man." We have some very interesting recent news in the National Football League, and it has to do with NFL Players Association Executive Director Lloyd Howell, who resigned last night. Why did he resign? Because he charged the union for two strip club visits, including a $738 car ride from the airport to Tootsie's Cabaret in Florida. Per ESPN, Howell was picked up in a sedan by a car service at Fort Lauderdale International Airport Thursday, November 2nd, 2023 at 10:26 p.m. The car's first stop was at a nearby Miami Gardens address where the driver was hired to wait 7 hours outside. The guy was in a strip club for 7 hours? Nearly 8 hours later, at 6 the following morning, the car dropped off Howell at his luxury condo in Sunny Isles Beach, the receipt shows. A young union finance worker noticed the car service's exorbitant cost. The employee Googled the Miami Gardens address and discovered it was Tootsie's Cabaret. The 76,000-square-foot venue bills itself as the world's largest strip club, full nude, number one rated. The employee flagged the receipt to the union's travel department for a higher level of review. Two people familiar with union operations told ESPN. The head of union travel then forwarded the documents to compliance for review by union lawyers. More than a year later, Howell and two employees visited a strip club in Atlanta, according to the expense reports obtained by ESPN. Damn! Also, during this year's NFL Players Association Summit, February 21st, Howell accompanied two union employees to the Magic City Strip Club for an outing that included 2,426 in charges, including cash withdrawals ranging from 200 to 525 from a club ATM. They used two VIP rooms. According to the expense report, the purpose of the strip club outing, quote, player engagement event to support and grow our union, end quote. Oh, my God, this guy sucks. What a weasel. Gotta say, though, there's a chance this might not have been caught. ESPN did a little digging. Had they not done their digging, which has only started in recent weeks, would this have gone down? Holy smokes. Crushed him. Poor Marine says he resigned. He got away with it. That is true. He did resign on Thursday. But I imagine there could be fraud brought up against him. Criminal fraud? Is it criminal fraud when we're talking about over $2,000? More around the National Football League, 49 days away from the start of the NFL season. Per Cam Hayward, Aaron Rodgers has bought into the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's awesome. That's great. This offseason, Cam Hayward was like, I'm not going to bend over backwards to welcome Aaron Rodgers here. Well, okay. He didn't have to. And now he's bought in. Championship Steelers? Also around the National Football League, Deshaun Watson got married in the last week, and guess what? Jimmy Haslam was invited to it. I'm sure he'd love that. Another second-round pick was signed. In fact, two. Shamar Turner of the Chicago Bears and Alfred Collins also agreed to deals. So it had been a while before anyone had given a second-round pick a contract after you saw the Texans give Jaden Higgins that deal that was super, super, super bold in that it gave Jaden Higgins a fully guaranteed contract. Another second-round pick got a fully guaranteed contract. And everyone else has been in a holding pattern. But now four of the 32 second-round picks in this year's draft are officially signed. And one last one to wrap things up. Shamar Stewart is not going back to Texas A&M, at least per Texas A&M head coach Mike Elko. Even if he were to go back, it doesn't really make any sense because he would still be someone that's beholden to the Cincinnati Bengals. They would own his rights for one more year. I believe that if he just doesn't sign his contract, he theoretically can re-enter the draft next year, but he might be making less money at whatever team he ends up signing for. Paul Gallant Show, I'm Paul Gallant, live at East River 9, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975, and on the brand new ESPN Houston app, it is an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Stick around.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. We're talking about the head of the NFL Players Association, Lloyd Howell, who used the company dime to go to strip clubs, not once but twice. You get away with it. I can see why you would do it a second time. A texter says, clearly Paul's never partied. 7 hours at a strip club is light work. Yeah, strip clubs just don't do it for me. Obviously, they're fun to look at, but the booze is outrageously priced. And I don't know, if you got to pay for it, is it the same? Not really. I think it could be fun if you got a very, very open significant other. It could be fun to go on a date, but I don't know how many girls are into that. I don't know if my lady would feel that way. Texter asks, Paul, are you single again? Nope. The old girlfriend might be more famous than me. She just got interviewed for how awesome her place is. It's posted on my Instagram story. Galant says, if you want to check that out. Tallest girl you ever dated, Paul? She was definitely a little taller than me. I think she was 5'11 and a half. I remember one time we were about to go out, and she was going to put on heels, and she was going to look like half a foot taller than me. And this is definitely D-baggy behavior. But I was like, hey, babe, how about we stay in this tonight, huh? How about we stay in tonight? So we stayed in. She looked great. I just was embarrassed at how short I was. They were great heels, though. Anyway, hey, it's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, and Twitch at ESPN 975. We're still talking about some football. What's going on with the Dallas Cowboys? It's been a rather messy week. Let's play with the boys.
I want me some glory hope.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
So now that TJ Watt has signed an extension, you would think the Cowboys would get a little sweaty when it comes to what they're going to do with Micah Parsons, who is still unsigned. Parsons was on the 6 Feet Under podcast and said he wanted to get his contract done by now, and it's the team's fault a deal hasn't been done. Quote, we obviously want it to get done early. We want that relief off our backs. Well, no, you want the relief on your backs, right? Anyway, he messed up at saying it's fine. But obviously, ownership is always going to make it drag out, make it more complicated than it has to be. Lack of communication at that standpoint. But, you know, I just always say, God has me this far. He ain't done with me yet. So, you know, I just got to keep working, keep going. And then when it comes, I'm going to be ready. But, you know, ain't going to be no drop-off. Maybe the Cowboys are saying that to him behind closed doors, thinking that, hey, if we pay you, is your play going to take a step back, given your obsession with podcasting? Are you going to do all the leadership things that we want from you? Especially considering they are probably in the twilight years of Dak Prescott as their quarterback. I don't think Dak's going to be there that much longer. I don't know how much longer, but I think that for Cowboys fans, they've tried it. He's been good. He hasn't been great. By the way, as far as Dak Prescott goes, Dak said he will be good to go for training camp, which is going to be in Oxnard, California, and will be at least through 2030. Less people are going these days. I would be pissed if I were a Cowboys fan in training camps out of state. We want to actually go watch him. I guess people go watch him to see him, but they're not like Dallas Cowboys fans. They're global Cowboys fans, who are generally the more annoying of the Cowboys fans out there. Cowboys punt returner Kevontae Turpin was arrested on gun and drug charges. Yikes. That was 2 weeks ago, but still, that's on brand for the Cowboys, as is this. The Cowboys have fined Trevon Diggs $500,000 because he wasn't rehabbing with the team enough. He will lose $500,000 from his base salary because of that.
because he was supposed to participate in 84.375% of the off-season program at the team facility. He has not. I'm assuming he hasn't gone to any of it at this moment in time. Diggs tore his ACL during a week 3 practice in 2023, and he had chondral bone graft surgery, which means translating pieces of bone tissue into the joint to stimulate growth. He could miss most or all of the 2025 season. Damn. That sounds pretty brutal. So I can see why he's rehabbing away from the team facility. And honestly, given what the Astros have been doing to their players, I can understand why other teams are maybe a little bit hesitant to work with the actual team doctors. One last one to wrap up playing with the boys. There's rumors now that Nick Saban, and this is coming from Colin Cowherd and from Albert Breer, but Nick Saban as a Dallas Cowboys head coach, is that a possibility? It's being discussed. So there you go, guys. Playing with the boys, Paul Gallant Show. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Let's answer this football question. Paul, as the Texans are presently constructed, which teams, the Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, would you put the Texans above? I say Chiefs and Bills. You can't put them ahead of the Chiefs. They lost to them twice last year. You can't put them ahead of the Ravens. They've lost to them 3 times in the last 2 years convincingly. You can say the Bills. That was the game where I think Nico Collins left after the first play, which was that deep touchdown pass. Things were a lot more laborious for the Texans offense the rest of the way. Their defense made Josh Allen look very, very human, which is a great sign for Texans fans this coming season. That defense is going to be a problem for a lot of teams. I think they improved, especially adding C.J. Gardner-Johnson to a secondary that was rolling out a bunch of different guys at safety after Jimmy Ward got hurt. And Jimmy Ward, when he was out there, he wasn't particularly great either. And obviously he's dealing with some off-the-field issues too now, so I don't even know if he's going to make the roster, how much he'll even be at training camp practices. I'm not even sure if he's had an availability since what went down. So I'm looking at the Texans defensively, and I think that you could say in a matchup against the Bills, I'd feel good about their ability to beat the Bills. But I don't know how they protect against Kansas City and that defense of theirs, and I feel the same way against that Ravens team that has just abused them the last couple of times. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call and text in. Poor Marine says the Bills would roll the Texans any other game. I mean, this is my AFC East bias checking in, but I think the Bills are regularly overrated because they're the media darlings of everyone that's a football fan. Everyone loves Bills fans, and they're like, yeah, we want to see the Bills win. Do you? Do you? You don't know what they're like. I do. I actually went to school with them. They were all nowhere to be found until right after Super Bowl 42 ended. And they were nowhere to be found right after that when the Patriots went back to stuffing them in a locker. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, live at East River 9, 1 hour to go before we turn things over to the Killer Bees. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.